Stay tuned now as Phil Silvers guest stars on The Beverly Hillbillies.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Howdy, howdy. Welcome to the Wednesday show with the Mike O'Mara get together. How are you?
How's it going?
Stacks and stacks of wax.
Mike,
the wax for yes.
Has no one fought that?
Has no one fought that? That was Charlie and Harrigan a million years ago. Back when I was a baby. Back when I was such a baby, I didn't know anything about the business. I didn't know how it would
work. And they were old then, weren't they?
Yes, yeah. Yeah. And people get old. I know that. I'm old now. So
yeah,
that's the way it is. Thank God for digital media where I don't have to worry about, you know, the scrutiny of some, you know, foaming at the mouth young buck coming in trying to steal my job like Don and I were against those guys. And then the competition that was just ruthless and horrible.
How many filters are you running on your face today to appear younger? Because I know that the age is...
As you can see.
I know.
These...
well, maybe a few more.
Right here. Yeah, maybe
or different ones. Yeah.
Well, maybe we should do something different, right? Maybe we should do something because the recent days have been a whirlwind of me... coming in like I often do as an osprey to get my fish on social media.
Yes.
And then flying out,
fish.
Wreaking a lot of havoc, and then flying out again. And then thinking it was behind us where we had particular listeners who have to let everybody know what they're doing because that's how they roll.
That's and the then, purpose of social media. It's look
and,
at me.
And I think that, yeah, that's the purpose of social media. And the difference is that we hop on social media and pay attention to it. And I've never ignored it. I've ignored a lot of websites in the past. I ignore a lot of social media that I just don't want to engage in. But sometimes I dive right in with both feet. And so, and really, I don't care to pull any punches with the way I feel and the way the show runs and all of that. So this whole recent upheaval, and I'm not even going to call it an upheaval because I think the majority of people, as they always have been, are not all that vocal. And
oh,
the
yeah.
majority,
yeah.
And the majority 100%. Of people... you know, just, you know, enjoy it. And if it's something they like, they like it. If it's something they don't like, then there are the people that feel like they're, I don't want to be cruel, but I have to tell the truth, that feel as though they are more important than they actually are to this show. And I'm sorry, and I can say that at 66 years of age in a podcast that does not even scratch the pimple on the ass of the major podcasts online. It doesn't. Mm-hmm. For that reason and for the reason that I've been doing this a long time, and I love the ability to get in here and still have advertising and do a show and coming in here and work with my guys. But if you are thinking that you are going to move any kind of meter – it doesn't work like that. First of all, it's never worked like that. And secondly, you can cause a lot of content to be generated for a couple of days on this show. But other than that, nothing's really going to change. We're going to continue to do that. And we were here before you and we'll be here after you.
And
I came in today thinking everything because I'll hop on social and then I'll go away for a while.
Right. Right.
And I use social for one reason and one reason only. So before we get into the discussion of the negative Nellies, I will tell you that the Book of Faces occasionally, the Ouye Toubye occasionally, but it allows me to search for what I like to call amazing untapped talent. And I found it again. I found someone that I am delighted to bring to you.
You are a star maker. You are like Clive Davis.
I agree.
You are like Brian Epstein.
I agree.
You are like Ed Sullivan. You see youthful talent in the raw. And that's where it is. A lot of people will see talent when it's already ready to go, but you see it in its nascent stage. It's a bud, yeah, ready to become a flower, and you have the eye.
He doesn't even know what we're talking about, but I'll tell
I
you.
I have
he's right
no
on.
Idea.
Well, let me tell you, Rob,
tell
I've always
Clive.
Said this to you. This is Clive Davis.
Hi, Clive.
You know what I've always said to you, Rob?
Yeah, wear boots with Cuban heels. That's what you've always said to
I've
me,
said,
Clive.
Pick them from the tree. Get them early. Get them from the tree.
But you were always so vague with the tree reference. Pick them from the tree.
Today you will be entertained by three clips of an impressionist. And this impressionist, I've always said to you that I've done celebrity voices in the past, but what I usually like to do more than anything is look at that faux hawk front and center in Josh's shot.
It is sensational,
are
isn't
you,
it?
Are you having trouble? Are you having
no,
trouble
I'm looking,
finding?
No, I've got your videos ready.
Oh, good.
I'm
all right,
concerned that when I switch to the video screen that it's going to cut out some of our cameras, so I'm trying to see if there was anything I could do before that. Because normally we align them ahead of time.
But well, that's another nice thing. People know that it's three guys doing this and, doing this from the comfort of their homes. And I want you to, feel free to be transparent and open with what we're doing. You know, we're not going on NBC.
Is the faux hawk leaning a little to the west today?
Let me see.
Is it?
Yeah, it looks like it is.
Yeah. Well,
like it's heading out towards Seattle, they'd say.
That's what people love, Clive.
Are you ready for the impressionist that I would like to share with you?
I am. I'm actually sizzling in my seat.
Let's
do this.
Let's go right to the first clip of America's new most talented mimic. Roll it, please.
And see, that's what
and
I was
there he is.
That was my issue.
That's okay. There I am. All right. There you
there's
are.
There's Josh.
And where this is everyone else?
I feel.
There
oh, there I am. I feel excluded, but right. Now I'm here.
Now let's get to the mimic.
Okay,
here we go. The America's
show me
newest
daddy
mimic.
After a long day at work.
Long day. My back. I'm so tired. I'm done. Talking. No moving.
Where's my food?
That's great. That's really good.
They get better.
Mike, a career can be built on one impression.
That you is just one of the best. Best
Vaughn Meter did it.
Let's run it one more time. The first
clip.
The first clip so we can see America's new
show me
most
daddy after
mode.
A long day at work.
Long day. My back. I'm so tired. I'm done. No talking. No moving. Where's my food?
Mike, are they saying where's my food or where's my phone?
I don't know.
Either one is funny.
It doesn't matter, but it's food. It's food. Yeah. Daddy's tired. He says back hurts. He wants to lie down and he wants food. That's it.
You want to see her dad, though, because for her to do that so well, he does that every day.
Every day when he comes home. Now, we move on because the repertoire is extensive.
Now, you're saying there's more. There's more to come.
There's more from America's new, most talented mimic. Let's take on Grandma. Let's take on Grandma. Here we go.
Okay, now show me the real Grandma walk.
My back, my legs, my everything. I need to sit. I'm done.
Oh, my God.
Now she's young or he's young, so perhaps laughing at, we all know first rule of comedy, don't laugh at your own stuff. But at this age, tolerable, I believe, right?
Well, some discipline will fix that.
Jesus, don't ruin it.
I'm not.
Don't ruin the light moment, okay?
Mike,
don't,
what we've got
don't
here
February,
is...
February, my nice moment, please, all right?
You have picked this one from the tree.
Yeah.
This is a young impressionist. Do you know where they're based? I'm going to guess New York City.
I don't know. That's where all the stand-ups go.
Yeah.
I'd suggest following this kid for many years.
Yeah. But here's the thing. The last one, who would you think a small child would spend the most time with? Pretty obvious answer to that one,
their
right?
Screens, right?
The mom.
Oh, the mom. Yeah, well, not my house.
You want to just reset and engage just a little bit. Please, just engage in the show. Even at the beginning, can you just give me 5 minutes of engagement without the shecky brain? Please, just for a second.
No one knows
please.
More about engagements than you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Ass. Well, she spends more time with her mom.
It's understandable,
more.
Yes.
The final piece of the trifecta, just ignore the man in the upper right-hand corner, and let's go with part three. Check this out.
Show me mommy after a long day doing everything.
Oh my goodness, I cleaned, I cooked, I did everything today. I'm fine, I'm just tired, nobody helped me, my back, my head, and so I keep going. No one talked to me for 5 minutes, I just need
Wow.
I don't know if it's another kid, because that was a little more high-pitched, you know?
Well, I mean, I think what we've got is we've got two different eras of the comic.
God bless.
Yeah. I God love the bless fact that kids. The kid is physical with the impressions, yeah. too. Yeah.
Just incredible.
Now we can close the segment.
Yes, we can. The Mimic. That kid could perform at any comedy club in the United States.
Yeah, exactly.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
So back to our thing.
Yeah.
So I come in today, and I'm chatting with the boys like we normally do right before we tape this thing. And I said, well, at least it's not. Josh says something like, well, at least you're not on the fan club. And I was like, oh, God.
Yeah.
What now?
Oh, I almost quit last night.
All right. So what now? I know the way I understand it, you can correct me because you were there and I wasn't there. And Rob, I don't know if you look in or you looked in last night.
I didn't last night. I skimmed it this morning.
Okay, so you've checked it out. I have not. This is the way I understand it. There are people from the right who don't like what I have to say. There are people from the left who feel like I am giving Josh too much of a forum, and there are people from the left who are just throwing hate at Josh.
Yeah, yeah. There are people. So I think it started with this guy Joseph, who posted a big long thing about how he's done with the show, moving on, and then he waits about 24 hours and then comes back and posts my final thoughts, even more reasons why I'm done.
Yeah.
And this has opened the door up to all these people going in there and posting, this is why I stopped listening months ago. If you stop listening and leave the fan club.
Why? Yeah.
There's no point in hate.
Here it is. And why are you, there in the first place? You're there because you are still listening. So you're lying.
Mm-hmm. And you're lying about me politically because we joke about MAGA, but I'm not all MAGA.
Well, also, I think that we have had, certainly the most recent, have been very little you and very much me.
Mm-hmm.
And when you are looking this, Rob, when they're coming on this thread,
right?
Are they, what do you get, in your opinion, what is the catalyst for this?
The catalyst?
Any discussion of politics at all? Is it the left giving Josh some,
Because anytime someone makes a statement, let's say you make a statement, Mike, and you say, ice cream is good. Okay, you say that. There's going to be people that say, well, I don't care about Mike's opinion on ice cream. And then you've got people that say, Mike was not emphatic enough that he liked ice cream. And then they say that, oh, Mike doesn't really like ice cream. And he let Josh say that Josh likes ice cream and didn't challenge Josh on ice cream. And we didn't even get down to flavor.
You're nailing what it is.
And then they'd love to tag me in the post and tag me on Facebook, so I get the notice to say, you ruined what I loved.
Wow.
And, that is sad.
And a lot of,
I was done with Josh when he said that there was no way Trump was a pedophile. And I just comment, I never said that. I said, take the Epstein files, show me the actual proof, and then lock everyone up.
Okay. Yeah.
But I said, you hear what you want to hear.
So it's confirmed what I thought it might be. And
it's twofold.
It's
politics, and then that has opened up the door to people that don't like the show.
Okay.
And don't
or like to hate on the show.
Yeah, I imagine there is a large percentage, a noticeable percentage of people listen to the show because they hate it. I hope so.
And it opened up the door for all the I used to listen people.
Yeah, that are still in the fan club.
That are still in the fan club because they used to listen.
They used to listen, right.
I mean, it's just, first of all, make no mistake that I welcome it. It comes with the territory
100%.
No matter what you do. When you put it out there, you get whatever it is. The difference is I can comment on it as much as I like. I think that's really, but this starts when, people who It can't just, there are plenty of people that jump on, jump off, and you never know what's going on. There are people that share the love with us, and it's really appreciated, and I love getting the feedback from people. I have personal relationships with listeners of this show. The podcast form ended up being a form of a media that was more intimate than radio, yes. And I didn't think anything could be more intimate than that. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, for those people that are making that comment, there it's a two-pronged issue that I have with you. First of all, if you look at America as a whole, you obviously have a divided country right down the middle.
Sure.
And there are, you know, we're all living in the same country right now. I think collectively that there is a lot of anger and a lot of misery. And I'm not, if you listen to me, what the hell was that?
My computer.
And if you listen to me,
did Trump do something good? Is that what that alert was?
No, it was because I had Facebook open because of all the haters.
Oh, I see. I'm sorry about that.
And so the posts that say I am a both sides guy, I mean, if you've listened to me forever.
Any single show.
My own personal, I'm not a both sides person.
But I think they want to take out the middle and make everyone either an extreme right or extreme left.
Well,
when I think most of the country leans one way, but is more in the middle with more in common.
But I'll take it one step further. I consider myself far left of center.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind the concept of of being a democratic socialist.
Right.
There, I said it. One of my favorite people is running for Senate in the state of Maine, Graham Plattner, as a Bernie Sanders endorsed Democratic Socialist. I am not.
I don't
somebody...
understand, Mike, how you can go out there and say you want to help people.
I don't care, but I can still, and this is the point I really want to make. I can still maintain my point of view. Which is, there's it's wrong. It is a collection of a-holes, in my humble opinion.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't prevent me from listening to somebody that might feel differently. Why? Why not? The hating is like, and one of the I'll throw this out at Mr. Soroka.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody said that the idea for the true believers, the MAGA mafia, the people that are in the government right now,
right,
and the people that are the pundits on the radio shows and the pundits online and the pundits on the news shows, that a lot of people don't really care about policy, and I'm talking about the extreme, as much as, I've heard this a lot, owning the libs. And I get that impression, mm-hmm. that owning the libs and, you know, and triumphing over the, you know, the liberals and making them, winning, getting their goat, getting over on them, that's more important than a lot of things.
I agree.
I definitely feel that way.
I think growing up, and I took some political science in college because I had a particular professor I enjoyed a lot. So I followed around a couple classes. I was never under the impression as late as like 1993 that politics was a contest. It's not. It's a process to make things the way the populace wants it to be. And
exactly.
You can win an election, but you
and
don't.
Can I amplify that?
Yeah.
Can I amplify that?
Yeah.
I think the way the populace wants it to be is you go to your corner, you go to my corner, and let's just let's try to win the day. Let's try to win the arm wrestling match.
Yeah. And I cite this before. There's a wonderful book called Man of the House. It was written by Tip O'Neill. And it was required reading in college. But I read it since then. And he talks about reaching across the aisle and working things out with Ronald Reagan. They're not two more different politicians at the time than Tip O'Neill and Ronald Reagan. And yet they made it work through communication. And if we shut people out, I don't know why people give me grief for saying this, but I'll say it again. If you shut people out just on a surface, without getting to know them, without getting to know the minutiae of why and what they believe, then you're just as bad as your worst enemy.
Would it be safe, and I'm going to ask Rob this, Josh, Would it be safe to say if I was a true hater,
right,
about everything, and Josh was a true hater about everything, that we'd be able to do this? I don't think we would be.
No, he'd be out the door.
I don't think we'd be able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But also that, maybe it's because I live in the belly of the beast, but I compartmentalize, and that's how I get through what I do. And, for people that say, where's the compassion? But people on the left,
yeah,
where's the compassion? Where's this? Where's that? And then want to publicly, poop on the way that that the three of us are feeding our families.
Yeah.
Where's the compassion in that? Look at us, folks. Sorry, we're small potatoes. Mm-hmm. I don't mind saying that. I don't pretend. The one thing I've never done in my career is I have never projected a delusion of grandeur. I don't. And there are a lot of radio shows that do. Mm-hmm. And a lot of radio shows that are successful that do. But that's kind of what I wanted to say. So, this whole hornet's nest that's been stirred up, mm-hmm. it really just gives people a chance to come in and, and give us a lot of crap.
They just complain. And what it does is then the politics spill over, and then it's people complain, and we focus too much on video, that we focus on our technical issues, that we do all this and just or money.
We've done
and
that
they just
for,
hate.
What, 40 years?
And only or, 40, though. Yeah.
Or a whole post about how what they need is a producer that listens to feedback and helps it on the show. Well, guess what? I've been listening for 2 years to all their complaint and feedback. It's not great ideas.
But
if it was good ideas,
also,
we take it and use it.
From the standpoint of technical additions to the show, and the job that's been done, that speaks for itself. I'm not going to even justify it by saying, "Hey, we've improved it," which mm-hmm. we have. But at the same time, one of the things I enjoy is seeing some growth in new people that join us, mm-hmm. and the knowledge of the show and the rhythm and the way it works. I don't even that guy used to be in a little small screen down at the bottom, and I was wondering myself, why doesn't he ever smile and blah 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 and all that. And there's a reason that that's a full picture now, because that to me is somebody who loves to throw a good barb and comes in there. And
I thought it was because you wanted to keep an eye on him.
So look,
it is
what it is. And there are plenty of people on the other team.
You're right.
On the right that listen to this show still too.
And there were people stepping in and saying, hey, the show now is better than it's ever been or better than it's been in years. So those are great compliments.
Because most of the time we spend talking about our stupid, tragic personal lives.
Netflix.
If you want to hate, if you want to attack me, don't tag me in it, because I don't care. I can handle that. I don't need my wife and family and all seeing how people hate me.
I take to heart when people say to me that I don't like the politics. I get it.
Sure.
All right.
I have made that not a priority, but I've definitely tried to put a blanket over that more often than I have.
Yeah. But Rob insists on more politics.
It's constant. And I phone Mike all the time. I phone him.
It's constant. It really is.
That's what drives me.
I think that you can't, in my opinion, the way we do this show, an inch deep and a mile wide, you can't ignore massive things that affect our psyche. That's how I look at it. Not affect the world. I'm not going to make a political judgment or a world issue judgment. I'm just going to say what affects our noggins and what we're talking about. And when you get a story like two people that get shot to death in Minneapolis, or as Josh likes to call it, Minneapolis.
Minneapolis. Mm-hmm.
You have to. Look, for me, I'm coming in and giving you what's top of mind. When I was having the discussions with people over the weekend on the forum, I said, well, why don't you listen on Monday's show or Tuesday's show? Because then you'll hear my level of one side. And I didn't think there was, and I still don't think there is anything like that. And I'm not sure a lot of people on the right feel that way. But getting away from that, I like stupid stuff that happens to one of us. That's always been the priority. If I get surprised by that, it's great. If I get a new chance to revisit an old impression or I do a new impression, that's fine too. But you never, and this, I say, it comes with the territory, the criticism, and that's why, Josh, you know, the only thing I can tell you is that everybody pretty much pays some attention to it. Everybody does. That does what we do for a living. Of course.
You can't help it.
Some people have handled it differently. Some people, you know, some people will kind of snake their way in and think they've got it all figured out. Nobody's got it figured out. It pisses everybody off. It pisses me off.
If one person could figure it out, it would be better. It would be better.
The one thing I would say.
Family that I don't want to deal with. Have to deal with it.
And here
they didn't sign up.
And this is it. I urge, and you know, all three of us, when it happens, and to deal with it the best way they can. But I make every effort not to let it really sway me unless I think the criticism is 100% valid. And I love getting feedback. I do. I really, really do. I don't like getting it when people are just putting it up there to, you know, when you put that up publicly, that to me is just trying to poop all over the show.
Going back to even before we worked together, Mike, which is an amazing hunk of time, I think one of the things that separated you and Don on the radio and made me want to get into the business in the first place was when you would occasionally just be yourself.
Yeah.
And it got more so and more so.
I'd love listening to other shows that would do it.
And this show over, I'd say, the last 10 years has gotten more into that than we ever have. Sure, we still do some shtick and things like that, and I'm most guilty of it. But what you see is what you get.
Mm-hmm.
And if we come in with something that's burning in our mind and we have an opinion on it, God forbid that, but we have to share it because this is what we do. And it's kind of what made us have a career in the first place.
Yeah.
I'm sorry if you disagree. If you can't stand it, good day. But, you know, that's what we do.
And just to put a button on it, it's so funny when it's been mocked. Trump has been mocked for using that word sad.
Yes.
It's so funny when the two left-wing people that couldn't handle me having a discussion with Josh both wrote, sad. It's like, are you kidding me? You're saying it's sad. No, own it. You're angry.
Yeah.
You're so pissed that you don't want to hear anybody else. And
sad
I get
is by dodging the blame. That's dodging blame.
But I get that too, that they're pissed.
Yeah.
Just own the fact that you're pissed, that you don't have any room, and turn it off if it's pissing you off. Because I guarantee you, in 10 minutes, we're going to play a baby impersonating its grandmother.
Just press that skip button, 30 seconds. Press it like three times and you're good.
Yeah. But don't give me sad. Sad. Oh, you attacked. No, that's a lie too.
Right.
You know, if you call that attacking, you know, you haven't heard me really attack somebody.
You don't know the show. You don't know the show.
But the thing about it is, and it's just like, you wrote something too, and you can do it cryptically. I don't care if you mention names, about people that want that attention and love that attention until that attention gets negative. Well, welcome to our world. Yeah,
precisely.
That's the way it doesn't feel good, does it?
There's a difference between criticism and hate.
Yeah. And when you're saying sad, you're really kind of a, you know, hating on us because you didn't like the fact that something was done that you didn't care for. And by the way, you got every right to do that, to hop on a thread and do that. Yeah. I got every right to come in here and say, F you!
True enough.
So I told you guys, you guys that early in the pandemic, I stopped listening to the Mike O'Mara show because it wasn't for me. Because the politics stuff frustrated me.
Right, I found the text.
That was
left-wing politics, you know?
And I didn't go on and announce it online.
Right, people do.
Here's the text I sent among show members, and I will keep it a little cryptic because we had been talking about things, and I said, that woman is a bitch on wheels. Don't know who it is. She doesn't get to make the rules, and I echo what Mike said above, which is that for someone who stopped listening, they seem to follow the show quite a bit.
Yep.
They always wanted the attention, but now that they've got it, they don't seem to enjoy it.
Yeah, and when it's when the hot spotlight is turned, but that's if you pop on to a public forum to do it, And don't send me a personal message about it. And by the way, somebody sent me a personal message with the exact same sentiment. And do you know what I respond?
What?
Thank you for the feedback.
Yeah.
And that is the absolute truth. Because don't think I don't know that if we're doing that every day, that is not our thing, man. We do not. That is not what I would want to do, just like I wouldn't want to do sports talk, and I would not want to do a daily political show.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, I've always thought this. I have always thought that the people that come in every day and do sports talk or political talk, I would imagine that is one tough line to toe every day.
I agree.
Because you got to come in sometimes
limited.
When it's limited.
You've got your hands tied at the very beginning.
Right. Yeah. And I, on the other hand, as I pivot now to another subject, then I wouldn't be able to talk about Bang Bang.
Bang Bang.
It's a movie. It's a,
oh, okay.
I think it's a 2024 bang, movie. Bang. And if you want a really great, if you're really feeling the blues about the state of world affairs, about the state of the Mike O'Mara show,
George Lopez case of the blues,
about all of your friends and family abandoning us right now. And if that is depressing you like it depresses me, not. I would tell you that, you know, check this movie out because it's a depressing boxing movie and it stars, not since Steve Buscemi has there been a harder working, funny looking actor than Timothy Blake Nelson. Timothy Blake Nelson might be familiar to many of you from Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Or from Buster Scruggs.
Could you bring up a picture, Josh? Because I don't recognize him by name.
He is, let's just say, not leading man material.
I understand.
But he is a working
who
actor.
Who is?
Yes. Old Henry is another movie he was in where he was fantastic. And I love the actor. He's great. And this movie is really
solid. Is he the boxer
solid.
In this?
He's the boxer in this.
Is there, is there a crusty manager a la Burgess Meredith?
No, there is not. No, it is not a traditional Rocky-style boxing movie. It is a very unique. But it definitely echoes the theme of, you know, all fighting. Like, there he is. You know that face.
Yes, I do. Yeah.
He's, look at that. That's a face.
And that's him at his best.
That's him at his absolute best. But it also brings home the fact that when you're, you know, when you get right to it, you know, from Mickey Rourke in The Wrestler, from, you know, watching MMA the other night with my kid and Ultimate Fighting and realizing that these guys just, you know, all you got to do is look at their ears and realize what a sacrifice they make. And
well, it's not just them. Robert lost a lot of money betting on those.
Yeah, but let me tell you, don't you agree that for the amount of abuse that they subject their bodies to, they probably don't get, I know they don't get the notoriety that major athletes do, and even boxers.
No.
The MMA guys just get the crap kicked out of them, and it's a very, you know, it's a combat sport that, you know, can kill you.
Has it been around long enough that they can gauge older fighters with dementia and brain injury? Because I know,
you know, what's interesting, I think the dementia issue, and this is not, you know, I'm not a professional, so I don't speak with any great authority on this, but I feel like with Ultimate Fighting, I think that the time in the ring might be too short-lived to have the same levels of dementia that boxers might get.
All right, I was also thinking of concussion protocols like that. The NFL had that movie that they quashed.
Yeah, the CTE.
But yeah, when you talk it's about a very valid thing,
combat sports that are, you know, essentially getting a concussion if you lose every time, pretty much when you get knocked out. But, you know, getting back to the whole, you know, the whole thing with Ultimate Fighting, you know, that's what I thought. I said, man, that is a lot of blood and a lot of damage for somebody that's, you know, I don't even know what the purses are. I guess they get big like anybody else. But boxers,
Mike, they're made by Coach. They're lovely.
And the boxing movie shows the thing. It's kind of a common theme, $1 million baby.
Yeah.
Same kind of thing where, you know, you realize it's a tough game, the fight game. And a
does
lot of
the
times
title bother you?
Bang Bang was his nickname.
Okay, so it's not trying to make people think
Polish boxer, Bang Bang. And
is
I don't know.
It's a true story?
It's no, I don't believe it's a true story. And they roll a graphic at the end. You'll have to decide on your own as to boxers that have parents involved.
Oh,
that,
okay.
That
yeah.
may have a tougher road to hoe than other boxers. I don't know whether that's true or
now,
not.
The
but it just shows the brutality.
The fact that he was a Polish boxer, did he always find his way to the fight?
Send the letters, you
that's,
know, if you need
S-P-E-W-A-K
another excuse and, to bail, send them to Rob Spiewak, please.
From the good side of Warsaw.
Yeah, so on that note, so Bang Bang with Timothy Blake Nelson. Good movie. Check it out.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously, your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school hall or a church. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend or family member, or a charity. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. There's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
We will return with some news for you, ladies and gentlemen. But first, I want to tell you about a well-built wardrobe.
The best.
Well-built wardrobe is about pieces that work together and hold up over time. That's what Quince does best. Premium materials, thoughtful design, and everyday staples that are easy to wear and they are easy to rely on, even as the weather shifts. Quince has the everyday essentials I love with quality that lasts, organic cotton sweaters, polos for every occasion, lighter jackets that keep you warm in the changing seasons. Nothing changing about the seasons now. It's winter,
baby!
Tell me
about it. It's cold, man!
The list goes on and on. Quince works directly with top factories and cuts out the middleman, that pesky middleman.
Hate him.
So you're not paying for brand markup. Just quality clothing. Everything is built to hold up to daily wear and still look good season after season. Plus, they only partner with factories that meet rigorous standards for craftsmanship and ethical production. My new cashmere sweater, ridiculously soft and doesn't cost a fortune.
It's the greatest.
Refresh your wardrobe with Quince. Go to quince.com/TMOS for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada. That's quince.com/TMOS. Free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/TMOS, people.
And I found out, Mike, they have nothing to do with Jack Klugman.
That's Quincy.
How's that?
Quince.
Ah.
You got to give it. You got to explain because there are people that don't know.
There was a show about a coroner that solved crimes. He lived on a boat. It came after The Odd Couple, and it starred Jack Klugman, and he played Quincy, M.E., medical examiner. And I don't think they ever revealed his first name.
Quincy was the last name, right?
That was his last. You know what? They're unspecific. Maybe his first name
was
Quincy.
It was Melvin.
Melvin Quincy.
It was Melvin Quincy. You know what? I am so obsessive compulsive. And
what's
I made
the matter?
My first. Let me just start the news. I'll do that. Whoosh.
Do you want a whoosh? I can give you a whoosh.
No. I don't want yours. I want mine. I always want
They're
mine.
They're very similar.
They never said more than Dr. R. Quincy.
Oh, so his first name had
his
to be Ronaldo.
His first name is an R.
Ronaldo.
Ronaldo Quincy.
Rory. Rory Quincy. You know? There we go. Thank you.
There.
Some people won't touch AI with a 10-foot pole unless it offers so much convenience that it could save you hours or days worth of work. But is the lack of effort leading to more unhappiness? The term friction maxing. Have you heard that term?
No.
It's trending. The idea that technology and things like ChatGPT are making things so convenient that they're effortless. And that's making things less satisfying, producing less happiness. Got it?
Yeah.
Let me explain. It's a new thing. So previously common conveniences.
I'm not buying into this, by the way.
Previously common conveniences like microwaves and dishwashers are fine. The focus is on the newer innovations that can basically allow us to avoid life experiencing altogether, like Uber Eats. Or using AI to respond to texts. One recent report put it like this. Tech companies are succeeding in making us think of life itself as inconvenient. That reading is boring, talking is awkward, moving is tiring, leaving the house is daunting, thinking is hard, interacting with strangers is scary. These are all frictions that we can now totally eliminate, much like Josh going on the fan club.
Yes.
So the challenge
I'm going to let AI manage it.
The challenge for 2026 is friction maxing. It's the process of building up tolerance for inconvenience. Suggestions for friction maxing. Stop sharing your location with your family digitally. Stop using ChatGPT completely. Invite people over to your house without cleaning it all the way up.
Ooh, that's tough.
You hear that, Carla? And send your kids to run small errands for you, even if they'll probably do a bad or incomplete job.
Yeah.
It's putting yourself out there a little bit more.
You know what we should do? We should make anyone that's like 20 years old pick up someone at the airport without using a cell phone.
Have you seen, there was a video, there was a TV show a few years ago.
Yeah.
It was on Netflix or something where it was in, I believe it was China, where they would follow how they would teach little kids, and they would send like four-year-olds like six blocks to go buy something from the grocery store.
That was the most horrifying show for me because I know that there's cameramen and these children are protected.
Right.
But to see like a toddler by themselves walking down a Chinese street, I found it very upsetting.
Crossing the street.
Yeah, I didn't
going
like
all the
it.
Way across town to buy some groceries and come back.
Yeah.
Because you're thinking immediately the friction maxing would be the friction of the car hitting the kid. That
exactly.
would be the
Or the kid not coming home.
Exactly. Yeah. Basically, it's engage more with things you want to do and learn. Spend more time personally interacting with those around you, both within your circle and with strangers, and become less of a brainless conduit for AI. And Rob, I agree with you. I think it has some merit. I think it really, really does.
What I feel so weird about now is if I call someone that I wouldn't say is a friend, but like an acquaintance out of the blue. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes you just do. You feel the need sometimes to apologize for calling somebody.
Yeah, I get
Because, you know, why didn't you text? This could have been a text. Well, you know what? I want to hear your voice. I want to talk to you. I want to gauge your mood.
Yep.
And it is. It can be less than pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
But all the another thing that is a friction point for me is texting, and even worse, the intercompany text system called Slack, where people can say they did something and then like shut Slack down and so no one can touch them. And it's like you're totally, totally removing yourself from any chance of fault and friction. And it's like, come on, be true to yourself. You know,
I think this doesn't hit us as hard because we have this creative outlet. But I think there's enough people in the world who have fully become consumers and they're not creating anything, whether it's creative or building something with their hands.
Glad
that they're
said
not
that.
Making something.
I'm glad you brought up consumerism because I've got speaking of brainless conduits, I've got one for you here. Here you go, consumers. Heinz has just launched something.
Listen up, Jim Amato. This is Pittsburgh's favorite son.
Heinz has just launched something called the Keg Chup, which is a 19.5-inch, 10-pound ketchup dispenser that holds 114 ounces so of ketchup.
That's just like what you'd see at the ball game.
Yeah, it's just for like a restaurant.
Isn't it great? It's shaped like a beer keg, and there's a pump dispenser at the top. Sort of like how you get ketchup, as Rob mentioned, a sporting event. The added bonus is that you don't have to shake it, squeeze it, or wait for it to pour out on its own.
God, you know, my father is the biggest ketchup addict I've ever met. He will buy ketchup at the store just because he's afraid. Oh, that's hideous. Just because he's afraid he might run out.
I think it's a good idea.
No, it's not. How are you going to put that in the fridge?
You got to get a second fridge. Got to get a second.
Put it in your second fridge.
Yeah, bring it out for the barbecue.
Or you just throw it on ice. Throw it on ice a few hours before the barbecue.
A big tub of ice like an actual keg.
The Heinz Corporation says they will be making keg chips available for sale later this year. But you can enter a contest. Of course you can. You can enter a contest to get one early, hopefully in time for...
Oh, Super Bowl!
Super Bowl. To do that, you have to enter through Heinz's Instagram by tomorrow. For a chance to win.
You have to be 18 to enter, and your IQ has to be under 50 to win.
Good luck, everybody. The first trailer, I didn't even know this was a thing, but the first trailer, we're not going to show it to you here. Faces of Death, they did a remake. Do you remember that buzz? I think it's my generation more than yours, where Faces of Death was a
high
movie
school
about
for me.
Yeah, like
people
a VHS.
Dying, showing
yeah.
people dying.
Oh, long enough ago that I saw it on beta, and right. it was the kind of thing that like someone got it, and we'd all go to their house and watch it.
You leave it saying, I'm not sure that was real.
Yeah, but you want to believe that it's real because you're 14.
The original Faces of Death came out in 1978 and became a sensation in the 80s with the rise of the VCR. Yep. It's a documentary which claims, emphasis on claims, to show the actual deaths of people and animals, but it turns out a lot of the footage is fake.
Yeah.
That didn't stop it from spawning multiple sequels, though. The new movie centers on the moderator of a YouTube-like website who stumbles upon a group recreating the murders from the original film.
Oh, so they've turned it into a drama?
They have, and questions whether the deaths are real or fake. Faces of Death hits theaters in April. Go bring your keg chip and enjoy yourself. You know?
I can't understand why this country's in a problem time right now.
Why we're in the toilet. Yeah. Harry Styles, I know you're a fan.
Love Harry Styles. Very elegant-looking, handsome man who makes great music.
Calm down. Harry Styles recently announced his Together World Tour, which includes a 30-date residency at Madison Square Garden, like Billy Joel did in New York City. Yeah. Well, as you'd probably guess, ticket prices are through the roof. Fans who tried to get tickets and be together for presale were notified that the prices range from $50 to $1,182.40, including service fees. But as seats began to sell, fans noticed that pricing began to change. Mm-hmm. To get an idea, a nosebleed seat at Wembley Stadium costs $126.86.
What do they call that kind of pricing? They use it with Uber, Josh. Is it flexible pricing or
surge pricing?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
To get an idea of what it is, one fan said, calling a tour together when it's unaffordable for 99% of people is crazy work. Another said, quote, I fear there must be some miscommunication here. $1,000 per ticket? Taking a breath costs $20 in the economy. Are you and I holding hands the entirety of the show?
But you know what? It's still going to sell out.
It will.
Part of it is price gougers. Part of it is these. And I don't blame the musicians. I blame the stadiums.
Yeah, they can control it, and they could do it in a heartbeat.
I blame the talent. I mean, the Eagles were the first one to break the $100 mark. Yep. And you know what? If you can spend $100, you can spend $150, and they push it. Taylor Swift is another one.
Yep.
Bless her heart. Great talent, but too much.
Right now, Kelly wants me to take her to go see the Backstreet Boys in Vegas.
Boo! And
the most expensive part of that is the time machine.
They're at the Sphere for like 2 weeks or something. They've been there apparently for 6 months or doing a residency. They've got 3 weeks left or something.
Mike, didn't you see the headline, Backstreet's Back, all right?
The cheapest tickets exciting. I could find were like $670 a seat.
Yeah. As far as Harry Styles, one fan joked that New York City Mayor Zoran Mamdani should ban Harry until the MSG prices are lowered. Tickets are currently on presale with the general sale hasn't even started. That starts on Friday. So,
it's a privilege to buy the tickets in advance. Paul McCartney taught me that. Mm-hmm. But folks, if you are bitter about the prices, you hold the key. Don't buy them. That's the only way you can do it. If you keep spending thousands of, and I'm guilty. I've spent ticket money that is just insulting. But if you keep doing it, they're going to keep pushing their luck. It's got to find a balance. It's not really the person at fault, is the consumer for accepting it.
I don't spend my money on that because it would cut into my golf betting, which I do passionately. And speaking of that, I actually have people named Shay in my family tree, S-H-E-A. I have Sheens, I have Shays, I have Dowds.
I had a teacher named Mrs. Shay.
Well, there's a man named Larry Shay, And he is a so-called golf.
Like pig Latin.
Larry Shea. Larry Shea. Going to the golf course gay. Larry Shea is a so-called golf better. And apparently not a good one. Last week, he guaranteed on social media that pro golfer Scottie Scheffler would not win a golf tournament in California. He posted, if Scottie Scheffler wins the week, wins this week, I will only eat Wendy's chili for a month. It's not happening, folks.
Oh, God.
Zero chance. Scotty won, and Larry says he'll hold himself to his word. In a video update, he admitted he was wrong, congratulated Scotty, and added, the only thing I'm going to be eating until February 25th for breakfast, lunch, and dinner is Wendy's chili. No cheese, no crackers, just chili. The pain hasn't set in yet. On day two, he tweeted, breakfast chili is surprisingly underrated.
Okay, two things on this. Wendy's chili is literally made from yesterday's hamburgers.
Yeah, but
that's
it's not
how
too
they
bad
make it. It's not
food
bad, but also the worst thing would be is if you spent $1,200 on a ticket to see Harry Styles and this guy was next to you.
Larry Shea, you know, he said the breakfast is okay, but he notes that he regrets not allowing crackers.
Yeah, well, crackers are great, aren't they?
Most people wouldn't mind if he included basic toppings, but this guy doesn't seem too phased yet. He said, I've been abusing my digestive tract for 50 years. There it is. He's an older guy.
With the no cracker codicil, ask me how that makes me feel.
How does that make you feel?
Sad.
Salty.
Prickly.
Speaking of that, Rob Spiewak.
Yes.
Before I give you my kicker here, finally, yeah. I would like you to help me out in two different ways, if
okay.
you can. First of all, if you can round up a Looney Tunes stinger or
okay.
a Looney Tunes finishing stager.
Yeah, sure.
And then I need you also. I'll give Josh this one.
All right.
Rob look for the stager. And then Josh gets to ask the question at the end of the kicker, all right?
Oh, fun.
And it's very simple. Josh,
yeah.
jot this down. It is simply, what was in the bottle?
All right.
Okay?
Mike,
and then
you
after,
almost don't need to go
and
any
after,
further.
And after I answer, Rob will play the stager. So I normally don't craft these publicly, but I'm doing it now. Are you ready to begin?
I believe
Rob,
we are.
You just let me. It all hinges on you, and I don't want to have you like scrambling at the end. It's just, you know, as the fingers go and you see the iPad reflection in his face, he's looking for the proper stager. I don't
want to
make
sure
advance.
It's right. I want to make
I
sure
I do
it's
like
right.
the glow of the iPad.
Something like the da 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 da.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're looking
that's,
for.
That's
yeah.
kind of the way it goes. So I'll go slow, and if you don't have it, it might even be funny if you play another one. Okay.
Okay. All right.
Let us begin, shall we? Driving drunk won't get you into the Florida Man Hall of Fame, but this might. Cops in Brevard, I think it's Brevard or is it Brevard?
I've always heard Brevard.
Brevard County, Florida, they arrested a 60-year-old guy last Friday after he refused to pull over, even after his car caught fire. they got multiple calls about a flaming car speeding down the highway, Highway 192 between Orlando and Melbourne. Witnesses said the driver did stop initially, but then hopped back in and kept going heavy smoke pouring out of his car. He eventually stopped a second time, and by then, there were actual flames coming out of the vehicle. He decided to keep going, and he took off again. One of those stops started a small brush fire on the side of the road, and firefighters got there before cops did. 60-year-old Patrick Rinaldi.
Ah, Pat.
He eventually pulled his car over once the flames got too big. It turned out his wife was also in the car.
Hey!
She barely managed to get out in time. They realized he was drunk because he smelled like alcohol and his eyes were bloodshot and glassy. He claimed he'd only had one beer, but there was an empty bottle of booze on the floor of the car. The local sheriff joked that in their line of work, that's what they call a clue. And you know, and now we're ready to end the
but, right, but Mike, what was in the bottle?
Oh, that's easy, Josh. Fireball. I'm
disappointed in the kicker. I'm sorry. I'm disappointed.
That wasn't the one I expected.
No, that's a bummer. But
I expected that's all, folks.
We can't have everything. That's the way it goes. But we can't have commercials because that's what we do on this show, everybody. We will move on to something else on the show. Man, I just want to clue in on that last segment and just to analyze it. You know, we've all had those nights laughing until sunrise, conversations cracking wide open and suddenly feeling more connected than you've ever expected to be. Those are moments when walls drop and people feel closer. That's the power of psilocybin. It opens doors and it opens your mind between people. You know, this episode is brought to you by Schedule 35, the most trusted name in psilocybin products. Whether you're microdosing for focus or exploring a deeper recreational reset, Schedule 35 makes every experience intentional, consistent, and most importantly, safe. These aren't party drugs, folks. These are connection tools for your mind, your creativity, your relationships, and maybe even your soul. Visit schedule35.co. That's .co. Use the code TMOS for 15% off. Thank you. And remember, turn off your mind, relax, and float downstream. It's not dying. It is not dying. It is not dying. I don't get it.
It's a Beatles lyric.
Oh, have a great trip. Get 15% off all orders with the code TMOS at schedule35.co. That's 15% off at schedule35.co and use code TMOS solid.
That was from Tomorrow Never Knows from Revolver.
Yeah, you have that Looney Tunes stinger, don't you?
I just have to find where I am.
So in all the years you've been kind of the audio producer of this show, I am curious, do you have, as someone who organizes his albums alphabetically, who knows where everything is, I'm curious if you have a system of your own stuff for the show. And I don't think I've ever asked you that question.
It is... organized primarily in iTunes, which is probably not a surprise to anybody because it alphabetizes everything by artist, which is nice. But when I put something in iTunes, I will sometimes put in a keyword in the description or under artist or something. So if I need to find it and it's something obscure, it will pop up. Also, I've built my collection from the ground up, so I know most of the stuff that I have and don't. So
is that. And I know that works for you. Is there still a plan to move to the laptop?
I tried messing with the laptop over the holidays, and I don't like the feel of it because it's. But yeah, I could do it, and I probably will. Yeah,
the idea of moving to the laptop would be easier access to like pull a clip from YouTube.
YouTube, exactly.
And so then you can just play it live from YouTube without downloading the video.
I'm going to hook you up with a guy. I know this guy. He runs a business called the Podcaster's Warehouse.
How's that?
And he might be able to, just help you out so that, when I, ask for the Looney Tunes stager, it's the right one. You and I knew, the one I wanted.
I knew exactly what you wanted. But I just couldn't find it. I couldn't bring it up in time.
Do you have it now?
No. I stopped looking when I didn't need it. I have another iPad. Well, no, but I've got another. You see, that's another problem. So I've got two iPads that have similar but different libraries.
That's a problem, too. Yeah. Right?
And
that's
I can't really update it because if I were to update the iPad, the software that plays the sounds doesn't work anymore because they haven't updated that in a million years.
Now, see, that's just going straight to YouTube.
That wasn't good audio.
That wasn't good audio, though.
Yeah.
And I'd like to be able to have access to stuff where you couldn't do it with all the AI technology right now. Mm-hmm. I think that if you muted a microphone and said Looney Tunes and then had something pop up on the computer, that would be kind of cool.
Well, you have the Siri can bring it up if you ask it to play it.
So you could use that.
Well, I don't have Siri on these old iPads, but like on a phone, would a computer? Absolutely, yeah.
Oh, all right. Yeah. All right, well, I don't know. I mean, it's interesting. I think, look, we're always trying to grow. And this has been a day about
letting people know what's out there. And, you know, I don't mind doing that either. That's kind of the way I feel today. All right, moving right along. Let's see. Do you want to talk about Doomsday or the show about Maine? Because I'm curious.
I would like
about
to talk about
those.
The show about Maine, because I think that it would be a great time for you to get in on it. And we've had enough stuff that is flirting with negativity that let's not talk about.
Is it dramedy?
Today.
Is it a drama?
It is.
It a comedy?
Josh found it separate from me, and then I talked to him about it, and he's caught up now. I think the fourth episode drops tonight. I have to ask you this. How did you feel about the show Northern Exposure?
I didn't get on the bandwagon, but I never was not intrigued when I looked at it. So I think that, you know, it's if it's quirky and it's good, you obviously watched it and you recommend
it. I've watched all these episodes. The show is called Best Medicine.
Have you ever seen the British show Doc Martin?
I have not, but Best Medicine.
Apparently,
this is based on a remake.
Yeah,
I saw a trailer for Best Medicine, and it's got a big name in it. It's got
Joshua Charles.
Joshua Charles is in it, and he's a well-known actor.
Oh, is he from Baltimore?
Yeah, he's a Baltimore guy.
I didn't know.
Baltimore.
I know his uncle. I was going to send a text
Josh,
today.
Josh, is there any way you could find a trailer for Best Medicine? Because I think I know the guy
You might remember him from, a long time ago, Dead Poets Society he was in. He was also in, I think, Picket Fences? Maybe.
It's the story of a guy that goes to a small town in Maine, right?
Well, Mike, there's a little bit more to it than that. He is a brilliant surgeon from Boston who, as a kid, summered in this town in Maine.
Okay.
But he was doing a surgery in the hospital in Boston, and he locked up. He's a brilliant surgeon, but he had a bad reaction and a sort of a mental block that made him stop doing surgery. And to this day, he's flipped out by blood, which is very inconvenient for a doctor.
Wow.
But he is brilliant. And he lands in this little town. And they reference many towns I've heard you reference. I think it's in the show. It's supposed to be near Bar Harbor.
Oh.
And there's scenes on the water, and it's very pretty. The characterizations are getting... You can't just drop in with great characters.
Right.
The characters have to build. But there is one plot line in the first, second, and third episode about estrogen cream that I think is brilliant. And he's funny, but also there's a little bit of like detective show to it because, you know, like House, like a lighthearted House.
You're saying anything that's not intriguing.
It's a fun show.
Yeah, stay with it through a couple episodes because the first one is, I know you don't like Jive, but they use a little Jive to get the characters in place.
They don't always do it, but they do it on pilots occasionally.
Now, and as the characters grow, it gets better. Now, Mike, the only thing against this, it is on Hulu.
The Hulu.
Yeah, so it's hard to navigate, but since they don't have much product, it's easy to find.
Here's the trailer.
Oh, thank you, Josh.
You must be Doc Martin.
Prefer Dr. Best.
Doc Martin?
Doc Martin.
Doc Martin.
Dr. Best, actually.
Welcome to Poor Wend, Dr. Best, actually.
What's it like being the good Wend?
I find that people here are demanding.
That's it.
I'm a new doctor. Start doctoring.
Irrational.
We need to remove his shirt.
I think I'm going to faint.
And far too chatty at supermarkets.
I can't tell if this is blood or pus I'm looking at.
I love it already. All right. I love it. Yeah. I love it. I love it. And that actor was one of my... That's why I knew the guy, because he's from The Good Wife.
Good Wife. That's what I was saying. They're not Picket Fences. Sorry
about
that.
Really, I mean, just terrific. I like that idea. That's very, very cool.
Mike, I'm jealous
of you. Damn it, why is it on Hulu?
I'm jealous of you because you have four episodes to watch and I only have one.
But, okay, that doesn't surprise me, and I'm going to try to find it, but man...
I think Carla will even like it. Carrie's way into it.
My Rocket Money app doesn't like that when I add subscriptions. It likes me to subtract that.
What about the free trial option?
Maybe I'll give that a shot. I'll get.
I got a free trial of Sirius XM on my 11-year-old car by calling and asking.
Little show history. Hulu was one of the very first streaming services, and they were an advertiser, and we went out to, was it Vegas?
Yeah, we went to a really hot club, like a club that you'd know by name. I just can't remember.
We went to the Pure Nightclub.
Pure Nightclub, yeah.
And it was
And did we fit in?
Oh, my God. Get us the hell out of there. It was horrible.
The problem with the Hulu sponsorship is the way we sold it to them is that what if every day we did a trivia question about a Hulu show?
Right.
And then we could, you know, promote the product.
Or there are like four shows?
That was the problem. I ended up doing about 10 trivia questions about, you know, the Mindy Kaling show.
Yeah.
And that's really was their mover back then. And when you know what? Another nod to Hulu.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, I talked about, I think last week, the show 1123
yeah.
That was a Stephen King story that was adapted by Hulu and sat dormant, and now it's on Netflix. Netflix just dropped another show that was on Hulu 10 years ago called Castle Rock, and it's all
Stephen King.
All Stephen King stuff intertwined, and I watched a couple episodes of that. That's pretty good for a 10-year-old show.
Yeah.
So Hulu just can't market their product.
I remember Hulu very well and promoting it and going to Pure Nightclub where Rob and I were sitting in a Pure Nightclub. Two men getting bottle service in a nightclub when they really should just be at an ice cream social. That's what we should. And by the way, speaking of ice cream socials, didn't they do that at the old radio station for a while?
It started out as like drinking and then it actually became ice cream.
Like, we're just going to have an ice cream social, and it's like, oh, F you.
Yeah, and they always did it during afternoon drive.
I think that's what we should do for the next live show, an ice cream social.
Ice cream social.
Yeah. All forget the derby party or whatever. We'll just have an ice cream social.
So get Sean Greenacres on the line, Rob, and we'll have the guy from Ben & Jerry's come in and do an ice cream
or
social.
Or Sean Greenwood. Either one is good.
Sean Greenacres. That's what I said. All right. We got more coming up, ladies. I want to talk about my daughter. I really do. I'm excited to talk about Catherine
because
I had a long conversation with her that got cut off and then she never called back. This episode is powered by Incogni. What is Incogni, you ask? I'll tell you.
I've got a question.
Yeah, what's that?
What is Incogni?
It's the bodyguard for your personal data, Rob.
Oh, that, yes.
This you must know. Data brokers are vacuuming up your info, names, addresses, even social security numbers, and selling it to scammers, spammers, unsavory marketers, all the creeps out there. That's why your phone never stops buzzing. Your inbox is total chaos, and identity theft is always circling around. Data breaches climb every single year. Incogni hits back. They automatically remove your data from over 200 brokers. They keep monitoring around the clock and fight back when brokers push back. The result? You stay off their list, period. 4 flexible plans, protection for you and your family, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Incogni fits your life, and it locks down your data. Here is the bottom line. If your info is out there, you need Incogni. Mm-hmm. Please check them out today. Use code TMOS at incogni.com/TMOS to get an exclusive 60% off an annual Incogni plan. Incogni.com/TMOS. That's incogni.com/TMOS, and we thank you. So, driving home. Yes.
Real quick, just got 5 seconds to adjust Jerry G3.
Yeah, Jerry's annoying me too.
Yeah, he says Rob and Josh are idiots. That may be true, but his reasoning is this. The show is on Fox, and the next day it's on Hulu. It's on Monday nights, or as he says, Nunday nights, and then the next day on Hulu. I know that.
But who tunes in to watch it on TV?
You didn't tell me that.
Yeah, but who watches Fox on a Monday night? You want to watch it when you want to watch it.
But I have my YouTube TV app can grab it from Fox.
Yeah.
And then I can watch it at my leisure instead of buying a Hulu. I am on Team Jerry. I'm sorry.
But then you got to go through the commercials.
Exactly.
That's okay. Because
and also, you're not going to get the first 3 episodes, Mike.
Well, it's probably on YouTube on demand. Yes, that's exactly what it is.
And then you're spending money.
What do you mean?
YouTube on demand costs money.
No, we already have YouTube TV.
I have YouTube TV. I didn't know there was an on demand.
There you go. So what would you like to say to Jerry?
Jerry, we are idiots.
We are idiots. And we're idiots, and we're here for you every day.
Thank you, Jerry.
How about Dave O'Neill who says, Mike looks jaundiced?
I don't agree.
I agree.
Oh, you do?
Yes. I'm going to my image right now.
Yeah.
I am. This could really disrupt the show, ladies and gentlemen.
He should go see Doc Martin.
All right, hold on.
Get his jaundice fixed.
Okay, temperature.
Just don't bleed.
All right, wait a minute. Oh, there we go. Okay, here we go.
Yeah, that's a little.
All right, here we go. Hugh. Yeah.
That's it.
burning up.
Big day on the course yesterday, Mike.
Oh, man. I tell you, I'm burning up here. That's a zero hue. Huge erection.
I had a, my great grandfather was named Hugh.
Okay. Thanks for sharing. All right. Here we go.
That's okay. Yellow.
It does a really great job at making you red.
Yeah.
All right. Hold on a second. I'll get this fixed.
Hey, Mike, can we do a real quick bit?
Hold on. I'm turning the auto off now.
I would like to say something
I'm just turn down the temperature.
I want to say something that's embarrassing to you and then watch you turn red.
Cold? Can you be cold? Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Mike, it looks like you stepped in some dog poo.
Oh. See, I would prefer 10,000%. That to adjust. I see that more as you get angry, you turn redder.
Okay. Oh,
that's right. True.
I just like to say to all the listeners, all the people.
There we go. Just need some smoke.
That's it. Oh, right. God.
I'm sorry. Right,
your daughter,
let me
Mike.
Let me see if I can get it just right. No, it's still.
You're not jaundiced now. But I know. You're red.
I'm still not like.
You want to find a mix between jaundiced and heavy drinker.
Oh, my goodness.
That's pretty good right there. Yeah. No, that's black and white. That's for another podcast, right, Josh?
Is that better?
Yes.
I'm glotchier, though.
Well.
What's that mean? Well, you too, on your forehead.
Well, I know. Well, no, my problem is glare, and I'm not.
No, I see spots. You have age spots on the top of your head.
You see them?
Look at them.
Where?
I can see them from here. Like, but I'm too red. I'm still
like
too
here?
Red. I am still too red.
Does that count as an age spot? No.
I'm trying to turn it down. This thing doesn't work, Josh. This camera sucks.
Well, StreamYard's got some settings as well. Mm-hmm. I know they do. So we can play with that for your color as well.
And I'll have to do it all over again.
Yeah, and then we'll see you again tomorrow.
So, you look pretty good right now. You look pretty good right now.
Catherine gives me a call, and people ask me, what does she do? And I'm trying to, what the hell is on top of your head?
I drew some age spots
while
for you.
My God, that gross. I just looked down, and then I looked up, and I was like, my God.
While you focused on your camera, he started drawing.
Buck melanoma. Molly Russell's wart. So Catherine runs a sales company, and she has moved from Los Angeles temporarily to Philadelphia.
For boats?
What?
Sales. Like big, tall sales?
No, like S-A-L-E-S. Sales company.
All right.
And she is, the way I understood it, she's trying to explain it. And I'm going, well, what is that? And she's like, what are that? Finally, she goes, Dad, let me just pitch you like I would a small business owner.
Excellent.
And she starts doing her spiel, and she's going a mile a minute. And I get a Philadelphia accent on to be a small business owner in Philadelphia. I say, hold it. You're going too fast. Now, come on. I want to know, because Philadelphia is just a little bit like Baltimore
similar,
the accent.
Yeah.
I said, you got to slow down. What's the hook? What's in this for me? The bottom line, Catherine sells bulk energy to small businesses. So if you have a company that's charging you by the month, if you buy it in bulk like you would buy your peanut butter at Costco, in the long term, you buy it all up front and you get a much better deal and you get a fixed rate. Yes, like electricity. That's what she does, and she's very good at
it. Does it come in a can? How do they do it?
It's very...
I really wish I hadn't drawn dots on my head.
But she is really doing a good job, and she's very excited, and I'm very happy for her, and I'm too effing rich. Red. I'm sorry. Hold on.
Well, you're excited.
You're glowing.
I am glowing.
That's pride right there.
No, I'm still red on the...
No.
This really identifies my...
A little too much.
It's starting to look like you were on Super TV in the 80s, and I was trying to pick you up without the decoding box.
Let me see if I can do my impression of Super TV in the 80s.
Okay. That's it. I remember it. Not a lot of audio on Super TV if you didn't have the decoder.
Squiggly. All right, there we are. Thank you. But Catherine is doing well, and I'm very proud of her.
It sounds like one of those jobs that like business people know about and business people need.
Yeah,
that doesn't make sense for the common person.
She's done it with phone, you know, with a what do they call it? Telecommunications. Mm-hmm. That's not the right name. It's not telecommunications. It's what is the big business name for that? I don't
cellular?
Know. No, it's not. Anyway, good luck to her. I hope to do more research and explain what you're
doing. How's Elizabeth? But can you thumbnail Elizabeth for
Elizabeth
me?
Is working in that delightful suburb known as Alexandria.
Oh, Alexandria.
And she's doing very well for herself.
Good.
And her living is in the accounting biz and software.
When and if you speak to her in the near future, please send her my regards. She's always so pleasant. I love her.
And if she doesn't answer her phone when I call, she calls back within 5 minutes. Catherine, not always the case.
That's but nice. Last Christmas, Catherine sent you a big barrel of energy.
Yes, she did. Yeah. And my heating bills have never been more reasonable during this cold snap. That's the way that goes.
And I'm still waiting for a text from my kids to wish me happy birthday.
Oh, it's coming. It's coming.
Happy birthday, Josh. Rob, do you have some beautiful video for us?
I do. But before that, I want to mention that just because Josh had a birthday, it doesn't mean birthday season has started. Birthday season starts in March.
June.
I thought it
ends
birthday
in June.
Just one day.
Ends in July.
With the birthday of America?
Oh.
250, Mike.
Rob's beautiful video coming
up. We do have lots of fun stuff.
I want to mention again that if you are in the market for losing weight, I took my shot last night. And look, I have to tell the truth. I was flat on the scale for quite a while. And then most recently, just around the cruise and after the cruise, I started throwing caution to the wind a little bit and not eating the way I should be eating. And I ticked up a bit. Got serious this past weekend. And I've lost to date. I started on Sunday. I am down 3 pounds already by recording what I eat and paying attention to my tirzepatide shots.
Fantastic.
And do all that. Look, Rob, here's the difference. And Rob, you can speak to this. You've you've done it the hard way, and I know you haven't done it with medications. But the problem is, in many cases, when you don't have that little assistance that I get, it just is like being a hamster on a treadmill.
Sure.
And you need that little, if you need that little extra help, which I did, and you want to get a weight loss product that everybody's talking about, or you're just tired of the food noise in your head, the cravings, starting over every Monday, never getting ahead. Carla from DermGlow Skin has you covered. Through DermGlow Skin, you can access these doctor-guided weight loss programs. They are designed for real life. They work. I've been on it for a while. No side effects, no gimmicks, no judgment. And yes, payment plans are available. HSA, FSA cards, welcome. Getting started is easy. Head to, listen to this, write it down, dermglowskin.com and click the weight loss button. After a quick online process, medical approval, they do that because they have doctors doing this, your medication will be shipped right to you, and get ready for your weight loss journey with dermglowskin.com, run by Mrs. Michael Sean Patrick O'Mara. My wife. Love
hey,
her,
I
love
like
her
that. Some beautiful video.
Jerry time.
Oh, hello, Richmond.
WRBQ.
I love that jingle. Mike, do you want to start with music or sad rabbits?
Sad rabbits, please.
Okay, in China, it is the year of the rabbit. I'm sorry, Mike, sad horses. I misspoke. Oh. But similar.
Well, I still want to do my Looney Tunes rabbit.
Okay, good. Please do.
The rabbit.
Well, that's technically the Tasmanian devil.
Well, talking about it.
Talking about rabbit. Yeah. That's his, that, Mike, is his subject matter. The sad horse. It is the year of the horse, and as Lunar New Year approaches, they're starting to roll out the souvenirs in China. And it all began when they sewed the mouth of the horse on the stuffed animal upside down. Sorry, it's true.
A stuffed toy stuff-up that's gone viral. As Lunar New Year approaches, a Chinese company wanted to welcome the Year of the Horse with a plush decoration that would put smiles on faces.
Happy horse?
Well, it did, just not in the way they anticipated.
A worker sewed its mouth upside down by mistake. I didn't think much about it, so when a customer wanted to return it, I said, send it back to me. But later they said, actually, there's no need.
The owner later started seeing photos of the mournful mare circulating online.
I love
Suddenly,
it.
Suddenly, an amusing mistake appeared to tap into the mood of many young white-collar workers across China. Customers joked that the so-called crying horse reflected how they felt during long hours at their jobs,
Amen.
While the smiling one showed how they felt afterwards.
This crying horse really suits the reality of modern working people.
Yes.
They aren't going to stop working once the new year passes, right?
Now crying horses have become a thing.
Mike, crying horses have become a thing.
I think that's wonderful, and I can't stop staring at your age spots either.
Thank you. Maybe I should put a hat on. Mike, today is National Kazoo Day.
Okay.
Do you have your ordinance?
Yeah, I do.
Because this may land, I don't know. This is a kazoo orchestra from the 1980s doing the Rolling Stones classic Miss You. Sad, isn't it? Mike, sad.
You know what? Do you have a love-hate relationship with kazoos like I do?
Detest them.
You detest
what's
them?
The I love detest part. Kazoos.
But if you got one, if like someone handed one, you'd play it.
Yeah.
You see, that's the love-hate right there.
It is.
I detest them also, but if you gave me one,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, you'd be good at it.
What's the one that has the
Winchester Cathedral?
No, it's got sabers in it. It's got sabers.
The saber dance?
Saber dance.
Yeah, but that's not a good kazoo song.
But I know I could do it. It's a phenomenal kazoo.
It's hard.
I might just go out. I might no, not for me, it's not. I might just go out and find a kazoo to play the saber dance for you on the show tomorrow.
I would have done it, but I'm snowed in. I have none kazoos.
Okay,
speaking of music, Mike, I don't like to do this, but Rocket Mortgage has put out a preview of their Super Bowl ad.
Okay.
And it really hits on all eight, I think. They've got Lady Gaga, who I love, doing a song that you never really think of as a good song for a singer to sing, but it's from Mr. Rogers. Here's a little bit of Lady Gaga. This is a talent.
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine?
Could your face
you be mine?
Because it's a documentary about the
it's
making of it.
It's a neighborly day in this beauty wood. A neighborly day for a beauty. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? I have
this part.
Always wanted to have.
How great is that?
I mean, really, I mean, salute. I got to see her live. Before I say goodbye, I got to see her live. I know these tickets are insane.
I would overpay for her because, you know, I got to see her.
I want to see her. I really
do. I got to see her by accident once.
Yeah.
She walked on to a Tony Bennett concert and did like five songs with
him. Oh, that's
it was
right.
Amazing.
So you've seen her live. You've experienced that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's chilling. There's just not much of it out there, man. So when
you're
you
right.
got it, go see it. Absolutely.
All right,
fantastic ad. Absolutely.
Let's close with this, Mike. If this happened in your hotel, would you ask for a comp?
Okay.
This is in Oklahoma, and there was a leak.
Oh, my God. What?
It's
that
in the restaurant.
So bad. Oh, my God.
Oh my God.
That sucks so bad.
I want to
the
see
the entire
that
ceiling
that.
Crashed in.
Oh my God. What if you're like looking? Well, you wouldn't be looking up at it because the water's coming up.
No,
my
no.
My God.
All right.
Wow.
One more time from these nice folks in Oklahoma.
That sucks so bad. Oh my God.
You know what? There's something that I noticed on that viewing I hadn't noticed before is that the actual falling of the ceiling knocks over the sign that says caution wet floor.
Oh my God. I heard Lady Gaga was staying at that hotel
yes.
with a bottle of Fireball. All the callbacks. and a couple of people that don't listen anymore because I talked to Josh.
They still listen. They just say they don't listen.
Everybody
pipe down, please.
All over the place, but fun today. We'll come back tomorrow and do it all over again, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much. Go to the store. We got some t-shirt competitions going there for Josh, Rob, and Mike. And also, don't forget to re-up for your bonus show subscriptions. We'd really appreciate that. As a matter of fact, if you're thinking of quitting, just re-up anyway and support us if you
we'll be there if you change your mind.
30 plus years of entertainment. We'd appreciate that. For Josh and Rob, Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Dots on my head. What's up with that?
Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.